So first, giving all glory and honor and praise to this God, who is the head of my life, which means he runs it, he owns it, he is the boss. To Reverend Burks up here, who's been fulfilling multiple duties, amen? Amen. Amen. We thank God for Reverend Burks, amen. Amen. We also, in his absence, Reverend Wright, we want to continue to pray for him and keep and ask God to keep him. To all officers, members, friend, or I don't really see any friends or guests here. All I see is family. Amen. 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 You know, I have a policy of not trying to call out guests by name, but we all know who's here. And again, this is not a guest. This is family. Amen. So I just want to say hello to our family member. Amen. Amen. Y'all know I'll call one person out and forget the other one. And then I'd, you know, charge it to my head and not my heart. Speaking of heart, I want to talk about somebody that's got it. My wife. Felicia Brooks, amen. Amen. She has been awesome. Awesome. Father, we come to you thanking you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we have another day with you, God, on this earth. Another day, Lord, where we can glorify you among the people so that the people may glorify you. Another day, Lord, where, as your scripture says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. So we thank you, God, because of how you continue to reveal yourself day after day. Even if we miss it, Lord, you continue to reveal yourself. And we thank you, God, that you love us. We thank you, God, that you care for us, God. We thank you. We ask, Lord, that as we dive into your preached word, God, I ask, Lord, that me personally, God, that you provide me clarity of thought, Lord, and clarity of speech, God, that I may deliver what you say, God, not what I think you say, but what you say, God. I ask, Lord, that you prepare the hearts and minds of the hearers as well as the speaker, God, for the things that you're about to reveal to us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I'm gonna need that mic. Amen. All right, there we go. So, I'm back in the pulpit after a break last week. And when I'm back, that means there's another series. And the series that we will cover today is one that some of us may be asking, but the rest of the world is definitely asking. Why does the church want my money? All these programs, all these requests for money. Money, 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 money. Why does the church want my money? And we're gonna go through that bit by bit. Amen. So for today's sermon, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 6th through 7th verses. Amen. For those of us that are having a hard time reading what we have or may not understand the Bible that's in front of us, the words have been printed on the screen. But again, I always encourage us to read our own Bibles and not just rely on the screen. However, the screen is up there for those of us that may need it. And that is coming from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And we're coming from a very familiar passage, one that's read almost every week. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 6th through 7th verses. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Amen. Everybody's fast in here. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 6th through 7th verses, read as follows. You will find similar words printed in your text. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 6 through 7, out of the Christian Standard Bible, reads as follows. The point is this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly. Some versions say not grudgingly. Or out of compulsion. Some versions say or of necessity. Since God loves a what? Cheerful giver. So today, I just want to talk about the attitude of giving. The attitude of giving. Now, when donors donate to various organizations, they'll donate large amounts of money. Sometimes, if the amount is large enough, they'll get a plaque. You know, something on the wall that says, we thank, you know, Deacon Hunter for his contributions. If you're really well off, you might get a program or award named after you. The Fred A. Baker Award for excellence, or the Thomas Murphy Award for continued dedication. And if you're really, really up there, you'll get a hall or even a building named after you. The Ciola Moore Center for Excellence, the Josephine Johnson Hall for Learning. Amen. Now somebody says, stop preaching right there. That's what I needed to hear. But when we talk about the church, that award, that plaque should work differently. Now, we know that it doesn't always work like that. You know, the big donors seem to get names on church stuff too. But when we read in the scripture, God's plaque, that honor works differently. And I want to explain to you how this works differently. I want to explain to you because, you know, when you're talking about donors and giving to buildings, those are usually reserved for the rich. If you've got a lot of money, or do something extraordinary, but if you've got a lot of money and you donate, your name goes on the wall. Doesn't matter if you're a jerk. Doesn't matter if you hate the place. Doesn't matter if everybody hates you. If you give a lot of money, your name goes on the wall. But in God's house, the attitude in that you give matters more than the amount. And I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about that. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 2 Corinthians 8 and through 9, Paul is appealing to the church of Corinth. This is where we get the book of Corinthians. It was the letter was to the church of Corinth. And it was in this region called Achaia, which is why you'll see the church of Achaia in your Bibles. It's just the region. It's kind of like saying St. John in the church of Los Angeles, the county. And Paul is appealing to them because they had started this gift that they were going to give to another church. So their offering that they were collecting was for the poor and the sick in other churches. They had started this gift. And Paul, when they started it, was bragging about them to other churches, and other churches were almost trying to outdo each other. And Paul was like, well, hey, the church of Corinth or church of Achaia, man, they've been ready since last year. They're ready to give this gift. But Paul might have caught wind of something and said, you know, let me send some people up to Corinth because I want to make sure I'm bragging about how St. John's going to give. I'm bragging about this big donation and how everybody wants to give. I don't want people to get ready to get this donation and we fall through. That looks embarrassing to me and to you. This is where Paul is going. And to motivate them, Paul goes into, again, the attitude of giving. There's two main things that Paul talks about in here. The first point, think about the amount. Now, didn't you just say amount doesn't matter? Hold on. Think about the amount. Think about the amount. Now, the question is, what is this amount? Now, what's the Sunday school answer? 10%. Tithes. 10% off of your gross income. 10%. That's what it's supposed to be. Now, I'm going to hide behind here. That's not the right answer. It's not the right answer. It is the wrong answer. Why? Because Paul, in the scripture, gives options. You notice that? The point is this. He talks about the person who sows sparingly and the person who sows generously. It wouldn't matter if it's 10%, right? We should just be talking about the person that sows 10%. The next scripture. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart. Each person should do 10%. Is that what it says? See, where did this 10% come from? It was the tithe. The tithe, which literally means tenth, was basically a tax that was for Israel. Okay, served the same purpose, okay, to support the priests and the temple and ultimately the poor. But that was for Israel. It was a tax on Israel. The church today does not have a tithe. If I had a cricket sound, I'd play it right. The church does not have a tithe. Paul is saying each person should do as he has decided in his heart. Why is that a big deal? There is no set amount. There is no set amount. I say this because, and let's just get personal. We had a budget meeting recently, and we talked about how we wanted to restructure the budget, and basically instead of giving lump sums, we'll all just kind of give a flat rate, okay? And then we talked about how much more you're supposed to give. And some people came to me privately and were freaking out. Seriously. Okay, this message is for St. John. I'm talking to St. John, y'all. The people were kind of worried because giving this extra would drive them into debt. Giving this extra would drive them into hardship. But again, that's all coming from this mindset that there is a number that I'm supposed to give. And even if it means I can't pay my lights, even if it means I can't pay my car, there is this number that I'm supposed to meet. And I come and tell you, there is no set amount. There is no set amount. Now, given that, keep in mind that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you reap generously. What Paul is appealing to is what they like to call the law of giving, okay? And this is just something that God set up. We don't control it. You know, we don't have anything to do with it. It's just a law. Like gravity, what goes up must come down. It doesn't matter how we think about the law, it just does. You notice that even the world knows that this is true? You do not have to be a Christian to understand that this is true. I had somebody come to me, and he's not a believer, and he was saying, you know, it is weird. It is weird how people can give and give, and they get and it comes back. They give and it comes back. They give and it comes back. That is weird to me. God's been talking about this for thousands of years. So again, there is no set amount, but you do reap what you sow. So where am I going with this? I'll give you a personal example. When I started giving, I started with the 10%. Okay, that's what I did. And I was making, you know, where I was. Now, this is me. I'm not saying this has to work for you. I'm not saying that you need to do this. I'm just telling you how this reap what you sow thing works. I asked God, I said, okay, if I'm reading this correctly, if I give you a little bit more than that 10%. Just me, all right? Don't start freaking out. If I give you just a little bit more than this 10%, then will you reward my faithfulness? That's the arrangement we had. And you know what? It worked out. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, say I'm scraping pennies. No. God blessed me. That's what he did for me. I am not telling you that you have to do exactly that. All I'm trying to say is that the law of giving works, that you do reap what you sow. It is not about the amount that you sow, but what is your relationship to that amount? It is not about the amount. It is your relationship to that amount. For some of us, 10% is way too high. It's way too high. We would be on the street the next day if we gave 10%. So, okay, don't start at 10%. Start somewhere that you can give. So if it's 5%, start there. If it's 3%, start somewhere. Start giving somewhere. And then there's some of us with names on the building where 10% really doesn't. You kind of throw that away, really. Again, you have to work that out with God. What is the offering that he ought to be getting? What should you be sowing? Because again, whoever sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully or generously, reaps generously. I didn't make up the rule. God did. Amen? But then there's the second point. This is the one I really want to get to. Think about the attitude. We already talked about think about the amount. Let's start thinking about the attitude. Now, as a pastor, I can give you three different scenarios to make sure that we give. You know how the Bible says, not grudgingly or reluctantly? I call that guilt giving. Here's what it sounds like. Y'all ready? Jesus Christ went on that cross and died for you. He bore all your sins on the body on the cross so that you may die to sin and live in righteousness. The Lord has blessed you with health, with houses and cars and family and jobs and opportunities. The Lord has blessed you. And you gonna put something in here that rattles? You got $1 bills in here, $5 bills in here. Some of y'all think y'all something and put a $10 or $20 bill in here. What has the Lord done for you? How dare you give the Lord such a pitiful amount? How dare you cheat our brothers and sisters because you're giving a couple? How dare you? If you don't want to look like the sorry excuse that you are, you ought to give. That's guilt giving. Okay? I'm not good at it. And I never want to be good at it. You know why? That's not the way. The next way, you know, of necessity, of compulsion, that's called threat giving. You know what? Excuse me, getting my act. You know what? God allows you to have the things that you do. But you're not giving back what you're supposed to. God can cut that off at any time, y'all. God can wipe you off the face of the earth. Do y'all realize what happened to Israel? Because they wouldn't give? In Black History Month, we're talking about slavery, right? Y'all realize God sold them off to slavery? Come on, black people. Y'all think God can't do that? You need to give. Because if you don't give, I can't stand next to you. I can't know you. Because God is going to wipe you out. Oh, yeah, this program that's coming up, these men's days, women's days, all these days, you better meet your number that you're going to give. And yes, I will be checking. That's if you want to stay on such and such committee. That's if you want to be president. That's if you want to. You better do that. Otherwise, we're going to have to disgrace you. That's threat giving. Okay. No. Y'all realize how many churches do this? Y'all realize how many programs we may attend? I pray never at St. John, but may attend at other churches where somebody uses some form of guilt tripping you to give more or threatening you to give more. But in the Bible, it says we're not supposed to be giving like that. It says God loves a cheerful giver. That word, I'm going to get to that word in a minute, but and cheerful. There's a joy that we have. See, when we offer whatever it is to God, our 10%, 5%, 15%, whatever it is, it should be something that we offer in thanksgiving and love to God. Talk about the attitude. You should be giving God not because somebody said it's offering time and you don't want to look stupid because you're sitting down and everybody else is getting up. You don't want to give because we agreed in the board that everybody's going to give this much, and even though you don't have it, I got to go into debt so I can give this. No, no. Give cheerfully. Give joyously. You should want to give. You should want to thank God and serve him and bless him. And when we think about where the money's actually going, which is where we're going to talk about in the future, when we talk about helping our brothers and sisters, this should be something that excites us. Y'all realize the word cheerful comes from this root word that we also use in the word hilarious. Hilarious. Now, you know, if something's hilarious, it's, you know, hee-haw funny, you know, doubled over laughing, and it's just ha, ha, ha. But it's a good feeling. Okay, the Bible is not necessarily saying when you give, you have to ha, 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 you know. You don't have to laugh and give, but you should have that cheerful and joyful spirit in you. That you are just grateful for the opportunity to bless and to serve, that God has given us such, and that we're not giving because we're guilty and we need to make it up to God, or that we're scared that God's going to kill us, but that we're just thankful that God is gracious and I have a chance to be gracious back. See, this is, y'all might know the phrase, you know, when somebody's laughing all the way to the bank. I like to say, in a sense, laugh all the way to the plate. When you give, whether it's a physical amount or like we have now online, give cheerfully. Give with the spirit of love and honestly, almost like a spirit of laughter. A spirit where you're just happy and honored to serve. And why do we do that? Why do we do that? When we think about Jesus and what he has done for us, there's a song that says, when I think about Jesus and what he's done for me. We talk about dancing all night. But some of us ought to be saying we should be able to give something because of what he has given to us. Do y'all realize the deal? Do y'all realize the deal that's going on? Jesus came down and left all glory. He came down and walked this earth and died on a rugged cross for you and for me. Just because he loves us so much, and he was buried and he rose again, this Jesus has continued to bless us over and over and over and over and over again. I don't want you to feel guilty about that. I don't want you to feel threatened about that. What I want you to do is look at how much he loves you. Look at how much he has done for you. Look at how much he continues to sustain you and to keep you and to direct you. So when you come to this offering plate, whether it's here or online, you can just, like, this is unfair. It's almost unfair. God, I feel like I should be giving more. But I thank you, God. I thank you that you don't just like rich donors, but you like cheerful givers. I thank you, God, that my worth is not dependent on my net worth. Thank you, God, that you love me and you gave yourself up for me
whether I have $1 million or I owe $1 million, you have given yourself up for me and you love me. And any chance I get, any chance I can return the favor, any chance I get, I want to do it. Again, to conclude, it's not about the amount, it's the attitude. It's the attitude. When we give, give graciously, give cheerfully. Know that, you know, the amount that you give, you know, it's either sparingly or generously. Know that when you give, it's not about what the neighbor is giving and how you're giving in relation. It's not about how big of a splash are you making in the budget. But it's about, God, you have given me something that's far beyond worth. And here, this is what I have, God. And I don't give it out of shame. I don't give it out of guilt. I don't give it out of hurt. I don't give it out of negativity. I don't give it scheming or doing any type of, but Lord, I just offer it to you because you have just been awesome to me. That's the attitude. That's the attitude. What if the world knew that? Y'all realize the world looks at us as, let me back up. Y'all realize the world looks at people like me as money hungry, scheming, you know, saying whatever I need to do so I can get you guys to open up your pocketbooks. But what if the world knew that? That God has done so much for you and for me. And that when we open up our pocketbooks, when we link our accounts online, it's not just about trying to make somebody rich. It's not just because somebody got in our head and is guilt tripping us or is threatening us. We're going to lose something if we don't do it. But it's about, I love the Lord. What if the church sees that?